mid-20s on Tuesday night, which is New Year's Eve. We may finally get a little colder next week on New Year's. And heading into 2025 might get a little bit colder, but it looks like for the rest of this week, we're kind of stuck where we're at in this extended fall.
You know how I like to ask questions about weather forecasts and language like patchwork fog? You use the word chance quite a bit. like when you weren't using chance, you were talking about maybe. Okay, a chance of snow, a chance of rain. I know you're not the one who writes these things.
I'm not a meteorologist.
Nope. I mean, how would you like to have an occupation where it's chancy and maybe? Mark, as general manager of the Hive, how would you like to be chancy?
Oh, I think that's really the name of the job of producing music concerts. And so don't I understand it? Do you guys have a favorite meteorologist or resource that you guys pay attention to the most?
This is coming to us from the National Weather Service, the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That's what we usually go to.
That's my favorite. I love the way that they do their writing and the way that you can zero in on different neighborhoods as well. Like I'm out in the valley near 200 and Colburn, and so I zeroed in on like basically right over our house, so I get a pretty decent picture of our weather, and I pay mostly attention to it when it's going to snow or around the time we hope it will snow, maybe, but also during a hay season, because that's when I really need to know if it's about a 30% chance or less if it's going to rain in the next 72 hours so we can get our hay put up.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of the NOAA.
Yeah, me too.
I was thinking in terms of, you know, being general manager of the Hive, it can be chancy if you get a call that morning for a band in the evening who says our lead singer has a really bad cold and cough. Chancy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll get back to Mac, and he can join in our chancy. How was your Christmas, Jack?
Merry. It was very merry. No, it was a good Christmas Eve, good Christmas Day. Christmas Eve is kind of the big deal for my household anyway. We do go over to the grandparents' house and see the whole family, and I think we were up until the grown-ups were awake until like 1 a.m.,
and James?
All hanging out. James fortunately went to sleep at, I think he was asleep by 10, 9 or 10, which is still well past his bedtime. But
Now, how old is he now?
Four years old. and then, so after company left, then we had to, you know, we had some other business to attend to. And not knowing for sure if he's listening or not, I don't know if I want to get into what we were doing after.
Well, you're preparing for Santa Claus to come.
That's correct.
Getting the milk and cookies out.
Getting the cookies. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it was a late night on Christmas Eve for us. And then yesterday was pretty actually just relaxed. He was very excited, opening presents and stuff. And we had an easy day. Didn't leave the house hardly at all. How about you?
Quiet.
All the way through.
Okay. Well, finished holiday cookie baking on Thursday. I'm so confused. Wednesday was Christmas. Tuesday was, this middle of the week Christmas. Christmas should be like on Sunday or something.
Yeah, I don't know what we're. It feels weird to be here right now.
Take it personally, Mac.
No, when I was like scheduling, we'll do the Thursday morning show and it'll be just like normal. And then this morning when I woke up, I thought, Well, we should have taken today off. This is, you know, it feels weird coming in here. But no traffic. That's nice.
Everybody else is deserted. Sleeping in. Yeah, the downtown is deserted. But it's good to have winter weather. Only I've been talking on the phone yesterday and said no snow in town. That means no shoveling.
That is nice.
Yep. Yes. You bet.
It's been pretty easy to maintain at least the driveway and stuff, and driving hasn't been too bad. There's roads are in decent shape.
Though on the other hand, speaking of roads, I helped to deliver Christmas Eve dinners and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I had one around Coca-Lala Lake, way up high. I never knew that there's like a whole community out there. And just amazing, the different structures and houses being built and a whole activity on the west side. Of
west side of Coca-Lala.
Coca-Lala. Huh. You know, I zip by on 95 and look, some water. Boom, yeah. I'm gone.
Exactly. Yeah.
And there's a lively community with decorations and stuff like that up there. So that was new to me.
Hmm.
And roads were good.
Yeah. Well, hello to our listeners in Coca-Lala on this Boxing Day morning.
Okay, now Boxing Day.
Yes.
It used to be primarily in Britain, the day when you would remember the needy and the not too doing too well families mm-hmm. and individuals, but it's become almost like their Black Friday. Where they head out and get post-Christmas sales and things like that.
Huh. Okay.
But I always thought boxing, you know, you put on those gloves and you...
Yeah, it's an interesting term.
Yeah, uh-huh. I didn't like what you said around the Christmas table yesterday. Bam, you know, that sort of thing. But no, it's remembering those less fortunate and then buying on those sales maybe for next Christmas.
I guess so. Mac Dybul is here. And we
thank you for having me, by the way. Yeah. It's my first time in the KRFY studio, and I'm very, very thankful and fortunate to be here.
We're so glad to have you here.
Absolutely.
On this Boxing Day morning. You are the general manager of the Hive, which what was the period of time leading up to Christmas like at the Hive before we dive into what's coming up for New Year's?
You know, it was really interesting. Backing up a little bit too far, probably. We were the host of a Coachava conference. They brought in, I believe it was their customer service and sales team from all across the world. Mm-hmm. And we had a conference there that was in the second week in November. So, my schedule, you know, goes from being a late night, you know, music promotion venue to a private rental up at 6 a.m. in the Hive by 6:45 to let Pack River Store in because they were catering it that week. And then that kind of just rolled us right into the holidays. We had some concerts. We brought in Terrapin Flyer and a few others.
Great concert.
Yeah.
Terrapin Flyer.
Fantastic. And then Thanksgiving was brought with the Community Resource and Vision Center Festival of Trees. 2 weeks.
That was a mouthful.
I know. I was like, let me sound it out here. So the Saturday after Thanksgiving was the first ever Festival of Trees Family Day downtown Sandpoint on a Saturday. Normally their Family Day was usually, I think, on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and they would open it up for 2 or 3 hours, and they'd get, I want to say, like 500 people was about their average to come view the trees and see what it was all about. Mm-hmm. But that's what it was for. Now, with us joining forces together to make it on a Saturday, and all credit goes to them. You know, we're a host, and I'm there to make sure that they have success as far as the venue goes and everything I can do to help them be successful. But bottom line, you know, it was their idea, and it was fantastic. And there's some other organizations that I think could really take heed of these things of building out their events to include the community more. Festival Trees standard is just a gala. So again, the Family Day ended up having, I think, nearly 2,000 people. I think like 1,600.
Oh, wow.
So they tripled their attendance. They actually had trees that were not exclusive to the gala, and they had I forget all the wonderful things. They had a gingerbread house contest. So everybody in the public got a vote on it. We had productions by the Waldorf School, by the Suzuki String Academy. I'm sure. I just can't remember. I think maybe the high school choir as well. Maybe not. I don't think they were able to make it. But it was a really fun day, and community support was fantastic. And then we went into the next week, which was the gala. Got it all, the Hive all dolled up. again, credit to Olivia Luther and her team to bring the Hive to life in that fashion. They raised a great amount of money in that week. And then we went into concerts again. Maya Kohal Band, Toys for Tots. We raised over $1,500 for Toys for Tots this year.
Excellent.
Yeah. Fantastic. Wow. That was our biggest ever. In the past, we've done a joint Toys for Tots and food bank thing. Cause you know, in the past we were just getting going and we were trying to figure out how we can do things. And this year we were able to take it even bigger and had a really nice impact for the Lions Club and the Toys for Tots group. And now this week we're going to rock and roll here with, the Rub on Friday night. That's been our standard. Now this is our third year in a row with our nearly New Year's show with the Rub. They've really helped, bring the Hive back to life and get it buzzing. And we appreciate them so much. And they're just a fantastic party. So we're looking forward to having them Friday night. It'll be another sellout crowd. Everything's leaning that way. And so if you don't have your tickets yet, and if you want to get out and about, it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a local opener, Davey Biobeat, a beatboxer using his voice for all the magical things he does. The first time I got to see him was this summer.
You mentioned tickets. Mm-hmm. Where can one go online to get tickets?
Oh, thank you for asking. I would go to livefromthehive.com and there'll be a button, livefromthehive.com.
Perfect.
Yep. And that ticket link will take you over to our ticketing partner, which is Eventbrite. And it's a fantastic resource. It'll send you the tickets to your email. It'll probably ask you to download the Eventbrite app, which is very convenient if you do anything in this town, coming to the Hive. I think there's plenty other music producers and event producers that use Eventbrite. It's a great tool, and then you can have everything in one app.
Yeah, I did that for Terrapin Flyer, and I'm a real Luddite when it comes to technology and that sort of thing. Easy schmeasy. So good. Don't be intimidated by going to your computer and getting tickets online with the Hive.
Well, I appreciate that. And I it's part of the reason I chose them. I was hoping that it would be a good source for our clientele as well as me, because it's easy and friendly to use. And I've tried my best to make sure that they can't take too much fees. I think we all see prices going up on everything these days, and ticketing fees is such an interesting business. And they serve a purpose and they're great. They're a great ticketing partner. You know, it's like, we can't reproduce that technology, but some fees for bigger concerts get quite exorbitant. We do our best to keep them as low as possible by negotiating with that ticketing partner to do so. And then Saturday after the Rub, we've got Hogwire, which is a fantastic local band featuring Ian Newbill and then Mark and Matt Lynn Scott, longtime locals. Ian spent a bunch of time down in LA gigging and working in the music industry before coming back up here and saying, let's get a band together, guys. And it's like a class reunion, a family reunion, you know, all the above when you show up to a Hogwire show. It is just so much fun, and it's a real great always community event. So really looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be a blast.
That's Friday and Saturday going on. Anything for like New Year's Eve?
No. I it's one of those things that this was going to be the first year I actually, you know, we've had, I think our first year open New Year's Eve might've been on a Saturday, and we just weren't ready yet. That was like our second show, in 2022. Mm-hmm. And it was a mistake, but you know, we were, like I said, it was our second show. So we were learning a lot, just getting going. Mm-hmm. Last year it was, I think, on a Sunday, and this year it's on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I had a band booked, and then my staff proceeded to tell me that none of them were going to be in town or available to me to work. So that kind of created an issue on my part. And I, you know, it's the struggle of being only open a few days a week versus, you know, a consistent, you know, 7 day a week business. My staff have other jobs, they have other responsibilities, and sadly and I was having some, you know, staffing issues in general, just needing some new blood and some employees going up to Schweitzer for the winter. So,
yeah.
You know, it was just finding qualified bartenders was a struggle there for a minute. I've luckily I've got it got it all patched up for this weekend. But, you know, if anybody's looking for work that has experience in bartending, liquor bartending especially, please reach out to us at The Hive. I'd love to speak with you and appreciate any opportunity to pull from your expertise.
How would that person do that?
I'd go to our website, livefromthehive.com. Any of the contact information goes directly to me. So phone number, email, Facebook, anything and everything. I'm the guy you're talking to online.
And that information is available at livefromthehive.com.
Yes,
phone number and everything.
Bottom.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the kind of the history of The Hive for those listeners who might not be familiar. You said... So you came into the picture, came onto the scene in 2022.
Yeah.
As far as that goes.
Correct.
The building's been, or it's been there as The Hive for what, 10 years now?
I think 10 years in August in this capacity from, I need to get my history, you know, really dialed in because I would like to. But from my understanding, this kind of came... The Hive itself kind of came to fruition in 2013 being the first year where he tested the theory. It was still in the decor phase and building phase of what was formerly The Dive. Mm-hmm. And then they tested it out with an afterval, I believe, or some shows. And they said, you know what? We are enjoying this a lot. And Jeff Grady, I believe that's when he was like, I'm going to grab this bull by the horns, which if you've ever met Jeff, that's exactly what he does with any project. He is an extremely successful entrepreneur and just an incredible visionary. So he grabbed it by the horns in 2014. I think there wasn't very many construction companies available to get any work done in this town because they were all working with him at The Hive. I was working across the street at McDuff's and every day we would look down the road at The Hive and it was just full of construction. They lifted the lid on that building. I'm pretty sure they ripped out the floor. They rebuilt that, everything. They rebuilt the whole thing and in record time and did a fantastic job on it. And so they were open for the inaugural afterval in 2014. So that's when it kind of came to fruition.
Like August of 2014.
Yeah.
I want to say shut down during COVID.
Yep.
And that was pretty much, it was a weird time for everybody. And especially I think the service industry.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I was still, I've worked for McDuff's a long time since 18 years old was when McDuff's first opened in 2006. And I was a dishwasher. and I was still working for McDuff's during COVID. And it was an interesting time for this town. That's for sure. In 2000, it was either late 2020 or 2001, Jeff Grady put it up for sale. My family members, kind of banded together and said, let's do something fun. We had been looking for an opportunity to build a business in town together. And hopefully use some of my skills, in the food service industry, event planning industry. And The Hive offered a very unique opportunity and it's been a lot of fun, growing this, And I think hopefully everyone feels the same, but turn it into a real community space where people can actually use it. People can come in and see it. I think in the previous iterations of The Hive, I think there towards the end, they were open quite a bit more often, but, you know, in the earlier renditions, you know, once a month, twice a month on average, you know, it wasn't open to the public a whole heck of a lot.
That's right. Yeah. It was kind of, It was not all, not open every week even. Yeah, it was like,
It was boutique, high-end concerts. Jeff Grady did a fantastic job bringing in high-end talent to this town. And it's something we would love to replicate, but it is a unique business. As we talked about chance and, in our industry, it's almost gambling in a sense, you know, bringing in these bands for X dollars and trying to make sure that you have the people to come in and pay the ticket fee to hopefully cover those costs. It's an interesting thing. So we've taken some fun shows in the since we've come into fruition, and we hope to bring in more high quality talent in the future. But all the talent we do source, I tell you what, they're all really great. And when you come into The Hive, just the whole atmosphere is focused around the performance and the music. Everybody sounds fantastic on that stage.
The changes at the Hive include, I want to say this year you got a kitchen,
yep.
which means all ages shows can happen.
Can happen.
Doesn't necessarily happen, but can.
Yes, correct. Yeah. It does mm-hmm. not happen at this time. You know, it's okay. not something we've found necessarily appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our stuff is very club oriented, late night, mm-hmm. you know, imbibing of adult beverages. And we've just found it, you know, as of right now, maybe not an appropriate place for minors. And, mm-hmm. but luckily the things it has done was allowed us to host, the first high school dance in a number of years, off campus from the high mm-hmm. school and back at the Hive, which they have done in the past. And we had their homecoming dance in October and it was so much fun to see the kids having fun there. I was,
yeah.
it was one of my biggest impetuses of doing so was like, I felt when I heard that the kids were having their dances at the high school, I was a little bit taken back, like thinking, you know, as a, old, you know, half my lifetime ago when I was 16, 17, would I have been wanting to go to dances at the high school? And mm-hmm. I think I would have preferred to go to a cool place like the Hive
mm-hmm.
and given them that opportunity. And 700 kids showed up. It's the most they've had for a dance in, I think probably their entire time.
Yeah. And then you got to do the Festival of Trees, yep. I imagine too. I mean,
Family Day was yeah, exactly. all ages. So yeah, it opens us up. The license now that we have with the state of Idaho allows us to have minors on site,
yeah.
Pretty much whenever we, deem fit. Granted, the state of Idaho, you know, we still have to, technically approve them by the state, and show them our security plans to handle minors on site. Mm-hmm. So which we have the plans. It's basically, I just tell them, here's the event, here's plan 1, 2, 3, or 4 that we're going to implement for the show, whether that's wristbands, whether that's only alcohol upstairs, or whether that's, you know, significantly limited alcohol, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, which is like Festival of Trees, Friends and Family Day. Our bar was open, but you know, excuse me, there was only, you know, it wasn't a drinking event per se. It was, right. you know, a couple dads, moms, you know, grabbing a cocktail or two while they walked around, looked at trees.
Heading into 2025, time for thinking about the future a little bit. You know, we talked about there was a time where the Hive was really, it was a very limited venue. Like, mm-hmm. you'd be open. Or the building would only be open a couple times a month or whatever. Big
yeah.
big show and then close the rest of the time. Your model now is more, you aim to be open pretty much every weekend, right?
That is my goal. My goal is to be open every Friday. Now, there are some limited Fridays that we take off. Mm-hmm. You know, Labor Day weekend is kind of an interesting weekend in this town. A lot of people either go camping or out of town. So that's one that we might not be open. But, you know, we try to be open every Friday. And I think I was just looking at my notes. We did roughly 70 music shows last year, plus plus a few private parties on top of it. And then that's also, I haven't even mentioned that we're open. Oh, I'd say not every Thursday because private parties, Festival Trees, things like that do knock them down, or holidays like Thanksgiving, but, line dancing lessons every Thursday night. It's 21 plus, doors open at 6:00. Lessons are at 6:30. It's $10 for the lessons. And it's a lot mm-hmm. of fun. Exercising, it's dancing, it's you know, it's really neat. So lessons, so you know, we're open for, you know, I'd say 40 line dancing lessons a year on top of the 70 plus shows. You know, where my goal actually this year too with our new kitchen would be to open up as a restaurant as well come mm-hmm. summertime, and then push that into fall and expand our hours even more. But my goal is this summer to be open every Friday and Saturday from about 11 a.m. to about, you know, 12 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then push that into fall and do Thursday through Monday. And we can do some light, some football games and things like that. We've got 4 giant, projection screens with brand new laser projectors. And the audio quality is substantial. Perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's you know, watching a game in there, you can feel the rumble, you can hear everything very clearly. It's a really, really fun atmosphere to watch some games. We did it last year a little bit. We stepped back this year, and then next year I think we're gonna get back into that phase. So restaurant is coming. It's going to be really neat. I'm excited to have the garage door open all day this, all day long, Friday and Saturdays this summer.
Okay. That's going to be interesting, and that'll be a different look, a different feel around town in the summertime to have the Hive open for, you can just walk in and have a bite to eat.
Yes.
Instead of.
Right now it's pizza and Woods Smokies. We've got their regular Smoky, their jalapeno cheddar Smoky, their hot Italian one, which we actually doll up with some marinara and some cheese. And so that's our start. And we're going to grow from there. And hopefully we'll have a more expanded menu come summertime. I imagine we will. It's just, let's get things started and we kept it simple and we'll grow from there.
Yeah. We got to make room for the Boy Scouts here pretty soon. I don't know any other. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to, will you stay in touch with us and come back on and let us know? I like the Hive. Can you bring back the Talking Heads tribute band, I think, from Portland?
Yeah, I've been talking with Lawrence. They came back in August, and it was a neat time to bring him back. Summertime is such a busy time for everybody, but we have been talking about getting them back here sooner. I was blown away how great they were. Not necessarily knowing a lot of Talking Heads. So I look it up and I obviously research all of our bands and all of our different, themes, but it's like, oh yeah, I know that song, but it's so much different when you see it, embodied live, and they were fantastic. It's a total dance show. It is so much fun. So yes, I would love to bring back Life During Wartime is the name of that one.
Absolutely. And I cannot speak highly enough of the venue, particularly the men's restrooms. For no other reason, one should go to the Hive and go to the men's restrooms. And that's all I'm going to say, Mac.
For sure. And it's funny. It's the weirdest thing that I say to somebody when they first show up at the Hive. I was like, you want to see what the Hive is all about and how classy this place is and how beautiful this place is. Just go check out the bathrooms.
Absolutely.
It's the funniest thing I say to people, but like you just said, it really shows you the care that was put into the Hive when it was built.
Absolutely. And I cannot speak enough about being locally owned, locally promoted. Oftentimes, there are promoters, where are they, and sending somebody through, but to support locally, I think that's important. And thank you and your family for taking that venue over. Can we have you on our speed dial and say, can you come in and let us know what's happening in February and March?
Anytime. I really appreciate this opportunity and would love to come back anytime you'll have me.
Cool. Excellent. Great. We got to make room for the next group. What's coming up next weekend?
I've got Trevor Chambers and the Southpaw Band. They're a new country band out of, I believe, Shoshone County. It's like Kellogg.
Cool.
And they gig all the way down to Lewiston, and they're starting to grow. Trevor Chambers and the Southpaw Band. I'm really excited to bring them up. I think we'll have line dancing lessons before that concert. So doors open usually at 7 for our concerts. Shows start anywhere between 8:30 and 9. That one for line dancing is from 7:30 to 8:30, and then the show goes on right after that.
Cool. Well, there we go.
Thanks so much.
Okay, the music we're going to play as we exit Mac and bring in the next. On this date, very important date in music history, Capitol Records released a single, and it has changed the music industry. And also, I put up the B-side. So do you want to do the A and B-side together or just the A-side? And Jack, I'll leave that up to you.
We'll find out.
Okay.
See how long it takes us to get set up with the Boy Scouts.
Here it is. You're familiar with it.
The Beatles. I thought I recognized that. Jim, that was, you said, 60 years ago to this day?
Yes.
64?
And there's a very interesting, long story behind the emergence of the Beatles, that they tried to come over to the States in April of 1963, and this came out in December 26, 63. A lot of early Beatles.
Or 63. So 61 years ago.
61 years ago. I don't want to get into it. We've got important people here, but someday I can talk about the history of the Beatles coming to the United States and what a checkered history that was.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will get into that.
Excellent.
Yes, someday when we don't have all these guests here on the morning show. I thought, Jim, that we would have a hard time getting anybody to come in on December 26th, and instead everybody's coming in to celebrate Boxing Day with us. We're joined now by Phil Voles, the Scoutmaster for Boy Scout Troop 111 here in Sandpoint, as well as Carl Brenner, Assistant Scoutmaster, and Senior Patrol Leader Riley Doko. I'll say good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning.
Good morning, Riley.
Good morning.
And good morning, Carl.
Hey, happy late Christmas.
Yeah, happy.
It is snowing outside when I went in between the break between.
We're Mac finally getting a little snow.
We are.
All right. We are. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let winter come.
No ice, though.
Mm-hmm.
Amen on that.
You guys have a big event coming up, a big week for the Boy Scouts, but maybe we'll start with that and tell us one of my favorite events in town, I have to say.
Are you going
to
do it?
I've done it before. I don't think I did it. I think last year I was out of town. I might, probably so.
Yeah,
unless we leave town, I'll come down and go for it. All right, what is coming up on New Year's Day, first of 2025?
So we have the annual polar bear plunge, which is exactly what it sounds like. You kind of just jump in the cold water for New Year's, and you just get in, get out real quick. It's just something we've been doing, I think, our 11th year maybe around there. I don't know.
This is something I grew up in Minnesota. This is a popular activity out there. and it is usually on New Year's Day. I have some. Well, I won't get into my personal history with it, but usually it's you cut a hole in the ice. And I know you've done that here, too, but it looks like right now you're not going to have to do that. So how does it work if you want to come down and jump in that cold water? Do you have to wade in, or what? How do they do it?
So, yeah, normally we do the ice, but obviously nothing's frozen this year. So I think we're just planning it's going to be like kind of running in. There's nowhere to jump because the docks are kind of sagging down in the mud a little bit. So, yeah, it's just going to be running in and getting out, which is probably going to be a lot worse than jumping.
I think so. Now I'm not so sure I want to do this at all. Usually, you just need a moment of courage if you're jumping.
Out.
You just need to have that strength for one jump. But if you're running, you have to be constantly making up your mind if you're going to keep going or not.
Well,
I don't know if I can summon it.
You can always go to the Statue of Liberty, a place, and jump in there.
No, probably not.
There is, you're going to be jumping directly into the mud.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Right is now. It that yeah. low?
It's yeah. that low.
Oh my goodness! Oh my! Now again, this is City Beach, 11 o'clock on January 1st.
And I guess so specifically, and maybe you guys are kind of still making up your mind here because the ice isn't in. What do you know about how the event's going to go this year? Where's it going to be? Where do you want people to come to when they come down to City Beach?
Yeah, so we actually partner with the city of Sandpoint for this. There's a permit process for things that you do at the City Beach and that kind of deal. So we actually partner with them. We run it ourselves as the troop. And what they want us to do is to be very specific about where we're going to be, right? If you're going to use something at the city, then you're in a certain building, you're at a certain location.
Right.
We will specifically be at the boat ramp, the city boat ramp, which is right next to the maintenance building.
Right. Near that circle turnaround.
That's right. Yep. Prior to that circle turnaround there. Mm-hmm. So we're not actually out on the beach. Again, you would be walking through the mud if you were trying to do that out on the city beach because it's so shallow there. So because it's the boating channel right there where the ramp is,
it's
a little bit deeper. It's not very deep at all anyway, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole area is maybe 20 feet deep even when the lake's full. So we'll be right there at the ramp. Again, like Riley said, typically we would go out on the end of the dock at the ramp, cut a hole in the ice, and then you're further out in that channel. So we'll now be basically right next to the ramp and the docks there. is kind of a sandy area before it becomes City Beach, right? Before the beach is there. Excuse me. So I think we're going to be kind of lining up and running in and, you know, that kind of thing, rather than it's a little more, I guess, I don't know, I wouldn't say organized, but a little more one at a time when the ice is there, one or two at a time, right?
Yeah.
One in, one out. Now it's going to be splash, jump in, get out, get warm. So, yeah.
Okay. Have you done it? I'm sure you have at some point had to do this before, where you can't cut a hole in the ice. You've done it before, where you have to run in some way.
We have multiple times. It's always different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in North Idaho, our weather's always different.
It's a little inconsistent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's probably about 50-50, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh no! Way more hole in the ice.
Oh, okay. More hole in the ice. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's what we're always looking for. But yeah. We've had just as much fun,
yeah,
both ways.
How many years has this been going on?
We were actually discussing that on the way in, and we're thinking it's about 11 years. We're not totally positive if it was 10, 12, 11, somewhere in there, but I think that's pretty close.
Yeah.
What sort of turnout have you had in the past?
Carl, go ahead.
So turnout, when we first started, it was just a handful of us, you know, just standing around doing it. But last year, I forget what we had, but there were several hundred people that got wet. And as a spectator sport, there's a lot of people who come and watch all the craziness. I mean, it is amazing now how small it started and how big it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is pretty cool to see that go from literally just a handful of us goofy scout guys and a few people, you know, getting drug because they didn't really want to do it. But yeah.
Do all the scouts participate?
Yeah. So actually we do this camp out. We call the video game camp out, where we just spend one night. You bring all your like gaming consoles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to go on that camp out, you have to jump in the water. So if you don't go in the water, you don't go on that camp out. Uh-huh. So that's the big incentive for it.
That's okay.
Yeah. That's pretty smart. Okay. So the Boy Scouts do it, and they are there. You guys organize this, and you're there as for safety, right?
Yeah. We jump in, I don't know, probably before the 11 o'clock mark, and then we're kind of just around helping out. And I think, Phil, you were talking about some safety stuff earlier, maybe?
Yeah. So one of the things it's not always the same, but one of the things that the city had requested is that we actually write up a safety plan, which we kind of always do ourselves anyway, but it's sometimes more mental and just because of the way that we normally operate. But for the city, we specifically said that we would have a couple adults that would be assigned to be lookouts, and then also a couple people that are ready and able to swim and rescue someone if need be.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have some equipment that we always bring when we have water sports. We have a pole, a rescue pole with a hook. We have our flotation devices, some rope bags, things like that, you know, that we can either throw to people or jump in and grab them. Yeah.
Is there any age limit?
There's not. We have had some very young kids, and we've had some very antique people.
How about costumes? Do you find some people wearing costumes?
I don't know. I don't remember anything exactly last year. I don't know, Phil or Carl, do you?
Yeah, there were some costume people. They had a lot of fun.
Mm.
Okay, and if you don't feel like jumping in, be a spectator.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, come down.
So tell me a little bit about the Scout Troop 111. How many members and activities and things like that?
Yeah, so I mean, over the years, you know, things have kind of swelled, and then they kind of come down pretty small. And that a lot of times has to do with, the wave of guys that come into the troop. There might be a bunch of buddies, friends that are in school together. And then they all kind of age out at a certain point. You know, they become Eagle Scouts. They turn 18. They become adults. And we kind of come down to a waning point there. And we were kind of at that spot very recently. And now, just in the last, what, couple weeks, we gained, what, 3 or 4 new guys that signed up?
Yeah, I think the past month we've had, like you said, 3 or 4 new people. So that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all changes. I think we were about to do our recharter each year for the troop. And we were at, like, what, maybe 7 or 8 guys, Carl? And now we'll probably be closer to maybe almost 12 when we do that.
And yeah. Where do you meet?
So we meet at the community center, Sandpoint Community Center, which is, you know, just prior to the Long Bridge, mm-hmm. the log building on the right-hand side, which I think, interestingly enough, is if you look at old pictures, there's kind of 2 sections of that building. There's the main meeting hall with the kitchens and bathrooms and that kind of stuff. And then there's a whole section off, I guess, to the west of the building that is the Boy Scout room. It was actually, there was money raised specifically to build that section of the building for the Boy Scouts. And I don't remember the year, but it was somewhere in the 40s, which was a little bit before my time. But Carl might remember that. And it was actually, we actually did some research along with the Bonner County Historical Society. Dug up a bunch of old articles and stuff about that for us. And there was a group of ladies back then that called themselves the Hoo-Hoos. Don't ask me what that's all about, but that's what they were called. And they specifically raised enough money and got enough of their husbands involved, probably, that were involved in lumber yards and whatnot, and built that whole section of the building just specifically for the Boy Scouts. And it's been that ever since. So if you go into the community center there, that whole building, it's available for the city rents out the whole building for events. But every Thursday night at 7 p.m., Troop 111 meets at the community center. And there's very few times, like right now, the day after Christmas and the day after New Year's, we're not mm-hmm. going to meet
yeah.
because we all have family in town, or we're jumping in lakes or doing something goofy like that. But that's where we meet and have for many, many, many years. It's been that same location.
So if one is interested to find out more information about scouting and becoming a member, possibly, what does one do?
So very similar to how you got a hold of us to do this radio mm-hmm. interview. Email is one of the best ways.
Mm-hmm.
sptroop111@gmail.com. So SP as in Sandpoint, right? Troop111@gmail.com. That goes directly to my email, my personal email, but it's the email we use for the troop. They can also go on Carl. nwscouts.org. If you go to northwestscouts.org and clicked on Sandpoint or put in your zip code and you click on Boy Scouts, because that's specific from Cub Scouts, right? It's age specific. We can talk about that. But if you click on Boy Scouts, Troop 111 is going to be the first one that pops up for this area, which will also get you in touch with us.
Hmm. Or you can come to the community center at 7 o'clock yeah. on Thursdays and just check it out, right? It's one thing to look on a website. We do have a website as well, sandpointtroop111.com. Or just come check it out, right? That's the best way for a young guy who wants to think he might want to hang out with us to see what all the crazy stuff that we do.
And not this Thursday and not next Thursday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But so that would be, I'm looking at a calendar, Thursday the 9th of January.
Oh, yeah, this is a difficult time of year because we don't have the new calendar. Yeah, Thursday the 9th of January will be your next.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Riley, do you want to issue any challenges to anybody out there that you'd like to say show up and get wet?
I don't have anybody specific, but if you're listening, just come on out. It's like 1 second in the water. Well, maybe more this year because you got to run out. Mm-hmm. But just run in the water and get it over with. It feels great after. I mean, you feel like the warmest you've ever been once you get back in that tent.
So that's a good point. There is some kind of warming facility after.
There is. Every year we're going to have two tents where you can like change if you need to. And then they're going to also have, I think we're doing wood stoves this year, maybe.
Maybe wood stoves or definitely heaters of some sort.
There's going to be something that's going to keep them a little warmer than the outside in there.
Okay, so you can get in and get toasty right afterwards, and that's
okay.
Nice.
This is City Beach, January 1st, the first day of 2025, at 11 p.m. and it's by the boat ramp. Oh, not p.m. A.m. I mean, my God, I just saw a Carl short circuiting right here to the left of me. Whoa, that would be trippy. No, don't
do that.
11 a.m. before noon.
We will not have the rescue swimmers there,
or anyone else for that That's matter. Right.
Yeah. And I imagine you want people to be on time. This goes pretty fast, doesn't
it? Yeah, specific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really do. And you know, in the past, we've also had some people that come down early. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to stop anybody. It's the city beach, right? It's city public property. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of nice if we do it somewhat organized, you know, at 11. And but there are some people that. And in years past, they were heading to church or coming back from church, and they jumped in on their own, which is cool. That's mm-hmm. their prerogative. But, yeah.
And not only are they warming tents, but they're changing tents as well.
Okay. Right.
So that there will be tents provided. Mm-hmm. Again, 11 to 12:30 p.m., so that's 11 in the morning to 12:30, January 1st, Sandpoint City Beach Boat Ramp, the Polar Plunge.
That's open to everybody. Men and women and boys and girls and children
Jack Peterson
of all ages.
Will be there.
That's right.
look for me. I'll be up to about my knees and working my way in at I'll go for it. The Boy Scouts, if you're interested in becoming a scout or learning more about the scout, what's the age range of the Boy Scouts?
Officially 11 years old. Mm-hmm. Or have finished fifth grade. Is that correct, Carl? Yes, I got that right. So finished fifth grade, which, you know, sometimes you might be 10, right? At mm-hmm. that, the kids might be 10 at that point. Mm-hmm. 11 years old, all the way up to 18.
Okay.
So you kind of, the term we use is you age out at 18, you become an adult. Mm-hmm. Now for us, because Troop 111 is the best, even, you know, even your Troop 111, right, in a different area was the best. But
we'd like to think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do a lot of really fun stuff. And it's a testament to me, anyway, as a scoutmaster, that we have a bunch of people that hang around after they're 18. They become mm-hmm. assistant scoutmasters. They become junior assistant scoutmasters. Mm-hmm. And they become just adults and leaders within the troop.
Is there still the Order of the Arrow?
There is.
That's 100%. What was transitioned after Eagle Scout became Order of the Arrow, if I'm not mistaken. But this is going back, oh gosh, 60 years.
Yeah.
At least.
Order of the Arrow is what is considered the, what's the word I'm looking for?
The National Brotherhood of Honored Campers.
Perfect. Will you keep us posted on if there's upcoming events, things happening with to just have you guys come back on and talk about scouting and the importance of scouting and what it provides to the community?
Absolutely.
You know, because I know one of the differences is that to become an Eagle Scout, you have to do an activity that involves the entire, you know, contributes to the community. That wasn't the case when I became an Eagle Scout. Was that for you, Carl?
Yeah, I mean, so what he's talking about is you have to do a project that adds value to the community. But like my father didn't have to do that either, right?
Okay.
So that is, you can get us wound up. We'll take up your whole show talking about
that. Okay, good. Let's do that. So you're saying I'm old enough to be your father? Is that what he said, Jack?
Well, in a roundabout way.
So yeah, that was by implication, maybe.
Okay, good, good. We'll have you back on to talk about scouting, maybe around the time when an important event is occurring.
Oh, sure.
You can come back, and we've got contact info for you.
Is this the big public event of the year for scouts, or for the Troop 111 anyway? As far as interacting with the rest of the community, is this your big one?
Yeah, it's one of our big ones. This summer at the fairgrounds, we collected oral histories with the historical society, and I think we're going to do it again this summer. But we still have to work with them and get that coordinated. But we have lots of little handful of events. But as far as anything that would involve like 500 people in Sandpoint, this is it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, something I wanted to mention and not go away without saying was that who our troop is chartered by, which is a very important part of who we are and who we always have been in Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Troop 111 has been continuously chartered by the Sandpoint Kiwanis Club since 1934. So we turned 90 years old this year, our troop.
You don't look it.
I know. But the Sandpoint Kiwanis Club has been around longer than that. Sandpoint Kiwanis Club actually started the Bonner County Fair, which is a little known fact, I think, has been involved in it for a very long time. So we are also involved with the Kiwanis at a very, very specific level. Carl and I are both board members there. We go to a Kiwanis meeting every Monday. Not just because of scouts, we're Kiwanians as well, but, that's been something that has been constant in the community and a big part of Troop 111.
That's a new word, Kiwanians.
Kiwanian.
Kiwanians. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that.
Me neither.
Thank you. Thank you. So, again, the Polar Bear Plunge, 11 o'clock a.m., City Beach, January 1st, the first day of 2025. And good luck to all. Are you guys going in? I know Riley's going in. Are you guys plunging as well?
Absolutely.
Oh, I like that. Absolutely. How about you, Jack? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. We're looking forward to it.
I would do it, but I don't even go into the lake in August. It's I grew up where water was user friendly in the Midwest, and I'm backing off. But Jack, you're representing
represent
KRFY.
Yes, the full KRFY Morning Show crew. I will represent.
Nice.
Great. Maybe we'll turn that into a fundraiser or something like that. I'll jump if we raise something. I'll figure it out.
I was wondering about this possibly being a fundraising event. Riley, jump in.
Yeah, so actually, we're asking everyone to bring canned food, like one can, if you can, one can per person. Bring it down. We'll have somewhere to put it. All you got to do is bring the can. We take care of all of it. We'll go donate it somewhere, and it'll go to a good cause.
Yeah. The
Bonner County Food Bank.
The community food
perfect.
Bank.
Debbie Love would be greatly appreciative of
we'll
it.
Bring that down.
That is a wonderful concept, Riley. Way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have music to exit out with? Play the Beatles over again. One never gets too tired of that.
I'll play something. Yeah, we're it's 9 o'clock. We got to go to.
We've got to exit out.
We got to get on with our day. Bird Note comes.
Bird
up
Note.
Next.
People will get upset if we don't do Bird Note.
Since there won't be, I don't believe the Tuesday crew is planning to do a show here on New Year's Eve. I'll just mention a couple other events coming up this weekend. We got the. For New Year's, if you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve, the Matchwood Brewing is having their annual New York New Year's Eve party. That's at 4 p.m. and the toast is at 9 p.m. They watch the broadcast from New York.
Oh, because it's back 3 hours difference.
And you can get home at a reasonable hour on New Year's Eve. There is live piano with Rich and Jenny at the Pondere Winery on New Year's Eve. There's a New Year's party at Barrel 33. If you're more of an alpine inclined, you can go to the New Year's tubing party at Schweitzer Mountain from 7 to 9 p.m. Let's see. And there's a New Year's party at Taps up there, too. And then the first event of January 2025 of the year is the Polar Bear Plunge at 11 a.m.
City Beach. And this will be our last show for 2024. I'll see you next year, Jack.
See you next year, Jim. Wow. Okay. Stay tuned for Bird Note, Nauta's Eclectic Mix, all day long after that, right here on 88.5 KRFY Pondere. This is Panhandle Community Radio. Thank you, Phil, Carl, and Riley, for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for having us.